the earliest possible date for it was about 1740. Most people believe it was about 1760. There was a drastic change in the manner of interpreting a lot of scriptures in the New Testament. Not that they changed anything from right to wrong, but they began to put the emphasis on a particular thing in a one-sided way. The evangelical movement had one goal, the salvation of lost souls. I am certainly, by no stretch of the imagination, even going to hint or suggest that there is anything wrong with that. That's why we're here. So let me simply put that to rest. I believe in evangelism. But there has been something that has been de-emphasized. The whole force of teaching and preaching God's word and worshiping God was shifted from getting people saved, period. And that seems to have been the whole purpose of the gospel. It's true, and that's what we're here for. And it isn't that that's wrong. It's something the church should put great emphasis on. But they de-emphasized something else. And when they de-emphasized it, they just quit taking the things in the Bible that had anything to do with it and shifted them around and made scriptures that have to do with this other thing that was de-emphasized apply totally to salvation. And that's wrong. You should preach that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you should preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And you should evangelize the world. And you should tell people the good news that Jesus saves. But you should not de-emphasize something else. And this is something that's been lost along the way since the evangelical movement began. And it spread into Baptist ranks. And Baptists have de-emphasized everything except getting souls saved to a large extent. Now, one of the things you have to realize as the truth is that Jesus said he came not to the Gentiles, but to the nation of Israel. And another thing that people don't seem to think much about is that they seem to put everybody in the nation of Israel, when Christ came, as lost and headed straight for hell without Jesus. That's a nice idea, but it just isn't true. There were a lot of saved people in Israel. There were a lot of people that trusted in God. There were a lot of people that believed he would send a Messiah. And there were a lot of people that had come to realize, not a whole lot, I don't mean the whole nation, but there was, it was probably less than 50%. If I had to put a figure on it, I'd say maybe between 10 and 20% of the nation were saved. They believed God would send a Messiah. Now, what they believed about this Messiah was quite different from the Messiah that showed up. They believed he was going to deliver them, save them, and establish his kingdom on this earth immediately. That's why the great multitudes followed. They followed him for two reasons. He could perform miracles, which made them believe he was from God, and there were an awful lot of sick people in Israel that needed to be healed. That's the first reason they followed him. And a second reason was they believed he was this Messiah who was coming and who was going to raise up a great army, overcome the Roman legions, and establish Israel back as it was in the days of King David. That's why he's called the Son of David, and as it was in the time of Solomon. So when he showed up in his early ministry, that's why you had these vast multitudes of people. Look at the Bible. Vast multitudes of people following. They thought, here he is. He is the one. He's healing us. He's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. It's going to be a literal physical kingdom. Israel had no concept of a spiritual kingdom. It was going to be a literal physical kingdom on this earth. And he would be the Messiah, and they would be the nation that had domination over all the world. They believed that. They had a mistaken idea about the Messiah. Does that mean God sent all those that believe that to hell? No. But when Jesus came, he was offering a kingdom. And when the evangelical movement began, all that was de-emphasized. And everybody that got saved was in the kingdom. And the business about having a kingdom city and about things that had to do with what heaven was going to be like all eternity, out the window. Let's just get people saved. And then when we get them saved, let's teach them how to lead others to Christ, and let's get them saved. And then as soon as they get saved, let's get them. And the idea was to fill up buildings and to have a lot of saved people out there and to win more lost souls. I am not going to criticize that. Sounds like I am, but I'm not. If that's the way they want to do it, fine. But God never meant for the other part to be de-emphasized. I'm not knocking the first part. I'm just telling you, we never should have de-emphasized the second part. So in this Sunday school lesson, I'm going to talk a little bit about the offer of the kingdom to Israel. Luke 13, 1 through 10. And there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There were a group of Galileans who were coming down to worship at the Passover. And Pilate didn't like some of the things. He thought they were going to lead a rebellion. And so he had his troops attack them. And at the same time they were offering their sacrifices and bringing them to be offered, he had his men butcher them. Now, and Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, do you think that that God punished these Galileans? Do you think that because they were great sinners, God called and led the Pontius Pilate to kill them? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, and that's plural, the whole nation. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now I'll tell you what the evangelical movement did with that scripture. They ignored the context. They said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You want to end up in a burning hell? You want to end up in a lake of fire? Repent or you will perish. That's not, doesn't have anything to do with it. It's talking about perishing as a nation. And this evangelical movement has so de-emphasized the kingdom offer that Jesus made that they look upon people like myself as old antiquated reptilian creatures from the dinosauric age. But before 1760, this offer of a kingdom was also included in the teaching of the gospel. He said, of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? He said, do you think that God sent this punishment on these men and that they died because they were sinners? He said, do you think he inflicted this physical death on this first group and on this second group? He said, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said, they didn't die because they were great sinners. He said they were died because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what he told them. It wasn't because they were great sinners. They didn't suffer for that reason. He said, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's talking about us a nation. Just like Pontius Pilate killed them, and just like the tower in Siloam fell as an act of nature, as an act of perhaps an earthquake, perhaps loose, improper structure, building. He said, it just happened. And he said, if you don't repent as a nation, you're all likewise going to perish. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about spiritual things. He's not talking about saving every lost soul in the world. He's talking about a nation, Israel. And he's talking about them rejecting his kingdom. And he's telling them, if they don't shape up, if they don't show some fruit, he said, you're all going to perish physically. He spake also this parable. Now, this is why I know that what I'm telling you and have just told you is the truth. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. This certain man was God. He's just told them something, and now he's going to give them a practical, down-to-earth teaching, a parable, to show them what he means. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. The fig tree is Israel. And the certain man is God. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. He sent his only begotten son to offer them the kingdom. And they were supposed to have been producing fruit, multiplication in God's kingdom, establishing righteousness, living godly lives, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And his temple had become a den of thieves rather than a house of prayer, a house of God. Are we any different? Consider the number of groups that are meeting together this morning across the surface of this earth that are worshiping God in vain. And consider those that are worshiping not in accordance with the truth, but in accordance with their own dictates of what they have come to believe the truth is. He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. In a lot of these super, hyper, duper, soul-winning evangelistic churches, the people who make up the body are conniving, cunning, backbiters, people who have never shown the slightest degree of spiritual growth, but they are willing, as God's children, to say churches like this need to get on fire for Jesus. And they split off other churches, telling people the church we came out of just was not evangelistic enough. We need to get on fire for Jesus. And quite frequently, their reason for leaving the church is because the preaching of the sins in their own lives and their own need to change burned inside them, and they sought some justification for their actions of leaving other than the real reason for which they left. Israel went into a spiritual decline, and the house of worship that God had put down there was a den of thieves. It was a den of carnal people, some of them saved, who didn't like God's way and wanted to change it to suit their own particular conscience and their own particular thing that they could have peace with. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, well, God sent his son, Jesus. He was standing there teaching him this particular parable. And he was to dress the vineyard of God. The vineyard of God was Israel. God sent Jesus to find fruit that they had produced and found none. Does that mean that God, poor old God, forgive me for saying that. Does that mean that he just didn't know what was going to happen? He knew what was going to happen. He knew he wasn't going to find any fruit. But God has bent over backwards to give man every opportunity to worship and serve him, even though he knows they will not, so that no one will ever be able to stand up before God and say, well, if you had done this, then I would have done that. God has done everything that's necessary. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, the father said to the son, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on the fig tree. Jesus' ministry, after his baptism, was between 3 and 4 years. We know it was more than 3. We know it was less than 4. And he says to the son, for these 3 years, after I sent my son to them, seeking fruit in Israel among the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious groups, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Cut it off at the roots. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's worthless. But Jesus, the dresser of the vineyard, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. For more than 3 years, he tried to dig into the hearts of the Israeli souls. He tried to plant seed in their lives, like in the parable of the sower. He tried to dig around their lives and their hearts, and he tried to fertilize it, to dung it. And he said to the father in this parable, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, notice, after that, after I do this, he said, give me another year. He said, after I dig about it and after I fertilize it, he said, if it bear fruit, well. But he said, if not, after that. Didn't say how long after that. He just said, after I do that, after I try and continue to work, and it still doesn't bear fruit, after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's talking about individuals. Okay. But only in this sense. That's plural. He's talking to Israel. He said, repent. Turn back. That's what it means. Metanoia. He said, you, plural, as a nation, turn back to God. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord warned them. He told them. Now, a lot of people get saved, and they spend the rest of their lives resisting coming to church, because it's a sense of duty, because it's a sense of responsibility, because the need in their life has been met. They don't have to worry about hell anymore. They don't have to worry about their eternal future in a lake of fire. And they come to church like you fill out a square on a chart. And some come to church out of habit. It's just something they've done all their lives. It's where mom and dad went. It's where the families went. It's where they fellowship with the people that they like and associate. And certainly I have nothing against all those things. That's a part of church life. But you're supposed to come to church seeking the kingdom of God. He said to the disciples who had all been saved, scripturally baptized, in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The ye there is plural also. He was telling that first New Testament church, seek the kingdom of God. Well, you say, I'm already in the kingdom of God. You're saved. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you're going to be either in the city, which is the kingdom of God, or you're going to be outside it. Why do I come over here? Why do I pastor this church? This is what God called me to do. What am I doing and why am I here? Seeking the kingdom of God, seeking God's will in my heart and in my life, wanting to know more about Christ. You think you already know enough about him? I've been studying for a long time and I don't know one drop in a bucket, but I'm still seeking the kingdom of God. There ought to be a purpose in your life. There ought to be a purpose in my life. Yes, you were saved by grace through faith. Yes, you were saved by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But God
means for you to have a purpose in life, and he means for you to keep on seeking the kingdom of God. As the brother Edis was preaching last Sunday night, I thought about little Zacchaeus, and I remember in Vacation Bible School, and I remember the little song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, cause Jesus he wanted to see. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, you come down. And Zacchaeus came down and he got saved. Well, that's true. And I appreciate his message, did a good job. But you ever wonder why he had to climb up that tree? You know, it says there was a press, there's just one room. He was seeking the Messiah. Oh, he probably figured he didn't have much of a chance. But a lot of people believed the Messiah was coming. They didn't know a lot about him. They thought from the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, he was going to bring in great prosperity individually for them and also collectively as a nation. He was going to lead an army to throw off the Roman yoke. They would become the greatest nation on the earth and their kingdom would extend all the way to the Euphrates River. They thought they were going to become a great physical people and a great physical nation, and all the glory of Solomon's kingdom and David's kingdom would be restored. And when he wasn't what they expected, they rejected the kingdom, and they rejected him as its king. But if you think all those people that were lining the road where he was walking, if you think they were all lost and they're all burning in hell today, I will assure you some of them are, but I will also assure you some of them were not. They were just seeking the wrong kind of Messiah. I believe that God did not hold them accountable because of the false teaching. And I believe that they believed Genesis 3:15, where God said he would send a seed, and somehow they believed that Messiah would save them from what they were. I believe God saved them. I think Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree because he was seeking something. I believe that's what happens in each individual life. I think if you're seeking something, you'll find it, provided you're seeking what God wants in your life. If you're seeking what God expects of you, and if you're seeking to know what his will is for your life, I think that's the primary reason he put the church down here. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Man, he was looked upon as the greatest of sinners by the scribes and Pharisees, and they themselves, very few even knew the Lord, because when they came to be baptized of John, he said, you vipers, you snakes, he says, bring forth meat worthy of repentance. He says, come down here and be repenting in your hearts of turning away from God and turn back to Messiah and the promise of the kingdom. They wouldn't do it. Baptism didn't save those folks. If they came seeking the Messiah, then God saved them. But if they came seeking profit and an establishment of themselves in a corrupt kingdom, no, God didn't accept them. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I don't think it was just that it's some strange man that he said, there's a strange man walking up here. Where are all these people from? I don't think so. I think he knew about the Messiah. Matter of fact, I know he did. They all did. Everybody in Israel had heard about the Messiah. And everybody knew that this man might be the Messiah. Then Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Then they that gladly received him were baptized. Were they saved by their baptism or by gladly receiving him? There is no indication that Zacchaeus was ever baptized. He may have been. Most likely was. But he may not have been. But he received him. And because he received him, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That is the result of his salvation. It has nothing to do with him being saved. It is the result of his salvation. And it is now Time for me to quit.